Welcome everybody to the Be Fearless Hour. Today we have best-selling author Andrew Kaplan. Welcome, Andrew.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so pumped to be here, and I love live conversations. You never know what's going to happen in the moment, so it's an even extra bit of excitement, and I really appreciate you having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited about having you here today because I read your book and I think it was amazing. And you also share with us in your book, your story. And I was like, you know, people needs to hear your story. So Andrew, who was Andrew Kaplan when he was a child? Mm. Did you ever foresee yourself being where you are today?
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting because, I'm nothing like I thought I would be as, you know, as an adult when I was a kid. I always, you know, not to say that I am or I'm not average, I'm not even putting labels, but when I was a kid, I always viewed myself as just like in the middle. I never viewed myself as like behind in the pack, but I also never viewed myself as like ahead of the curve. And I was like that kid who, if I tried, I can get an A. If I tried a little less, I can get an A minus, but usually I was just content with a B plus because it was like where my mindset was at. And it was funny because like for a while that kind of just like informed my life experience. I was just like, you know, not super popular, but I went to all the parties. And like I was always just like even keel in the middle. And I was never the type of person who was gonna start a YouTube channel or was gonna put himself out there with a book or anything like that. And I guess it just evolved to the point where, you know, this is 20 years ago where I started going down the road of personal development and learning about things like the law of attraction and really just learning to take on or invite a different mindset and a different paradigm. So I'm more comfortable being out there now. But as a kid, like I never would have thought I would have made that direction.
As you went through your development, who was your biggest influence and your inspiration?
Yeah. So my big, like when I was a kid, I didn't think I would be, but I know I wanted to be a comic book artist. And like, I just wanted to draw for a living. And my hero was someone named Todd McFarlane, which some people recognize his name and some people don't. He, in 1992, I mean, I was an older kid at that point, but he launched a new comic book company to compete with Marvel and DC. And he became like this self-made millionaire. So I was able to like, I was inspired by this guy who could be an artist and do his craft, but at the same time was a true bona fide success. And he was a true like a multi-millionaire and all these things. He was my inspiration. I thought like some way, shape or form, I want to make a lot of money doing what I love, which I guess a lot of kids end up going that route, but it was this artist slash entrepreneur who inspired me a lot.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Like, honestly, this is and I love comics, but like DC, you know, the regular DC, Marvel, all that. But I never heard about that comic book or character. What's the name again?
Yeah, the name is Spawn. And like he had a movie back in 1997. And it was basically like the biggest independent comic book of all time. Sold, I think, 1.7 million copies.
Oh, when wow.
It launched. He was like the Michael Jordan of comic books in the early 90s. Like he was the standard. He was the name that brought in the money. And he worked at Marvel and he worked at DC. So he had that history. But, and people would later figure out he wasn't just an artist. Not that anyone is just an artist, but really his greatest gifts were his entrepreneurial spirit, his business mindset, his ability to look at things in a completely different direction than most people aren't either able or more likely willing to do. And that really inspired me all the time, just to watch him make moves and to almost predict this weird, wacky direction he's gonna go in when most people don't see it if they haven't been studying the way he goes. Like he started a toy company and he bought this home run baseball by Mark McGwire when McGwire set a home run record in 1998. And everyone's like thinking he's this crazy collector, but he used that baseball to leverage press and relationships with baseball executives so he could make toys for Major League Baseball. He leveraged that for the NFL toys, for the NBA toys. He's basically on these higher levels working to operate and leverage his business and his reach and impact through ways that most people don't think of. And it was always very inspiring to be so behind, but watch someone like that work and be inspired and do my own ideas and make my own directions in terms of how do I get my art out there.
Exactly.
He's awesome. He really is.
That's amazing. I'm already inspired by it. I will have to go and research it. But I love that you mentioned that and that you shared that with us today. And then what happened during that period of time? What do you did you grew up?
I hit a wall is what I did because my desire to be a comic artist did not was way past my talent level. Like I was not progressing the way I should have in order to operate, because I mean people take for granted it's just these funny pictures. Like you need real talent, real work, and you also have to be really fast. And it was clear that I wasn't progressing on that level. So I compromised. I'm like, I'm gonna be a comic strip artist instead. Now we're talking Garfield. Now you only draw 3 panels a day and the pictures don't have to be perfect, you know, that even uh-huh. though they still have to be good. And that governed my first business. The first business I ever did out of college was an art production studio trying to get a comic strip into syndication. Mm-hmm. Again, it didn't work out, but I did, I scratched that itch. So I got to say that I did this. I tried it. I never have to look back in regret wondering if I should have gone down that route, because I did, and it didn't work, which is fine, but an interesting twist and turn, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, definitely. So things didn't went your way, and I mean, what was the worst situation that you went through and how you overcome?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really interesting because the whole thing about that how do I put this? The business, basically, I was relying on the comic strip to do something and to work in a certain way. And I actually learned about law of attraction in the middle of all this. Uh-huh. But it was never reliable. And that's another funny way of saying what I realized later on is I wasn't reliable with it. I learned about it. I was excited. I would kind of try it out and it would start to work. And then I would stop. And there's a whole reason behind that, you know, we as humans stop when we're ahead. But it came to a point where the business was falling flat on its face, and I was in a 3 relationship at that point, and I was not giving the relationship the energy and time that it deserved because I was so desperately struggling to keep the business going. Mm-hmm. And everything fell apart in 1 week. Like within actually 3 days, I decided to close my business. And like 3 days later, my girlfriend of 3 years doesn't speak to me in person, and she doesn't even call me. She texts me after 3 relationship to break up with me. And which is, you know, obviously not a very good day and not a very good week.
No.
I kind of tell people it's kind of like I lost like 90% of my life in just a few days. And that was where, like, you know, obviously waking up depressed and down, like, what do I do? And I came to this like realization, like, listen, something's not working here. And I don't even know why, but I kind of came back to law of attraction where I realized, you know, when I actually do it, stuff does happen. If I don't stop, like, what would happen? And I almost got very stubborn and indignant. And I said, you know what? I know a lot of people like to set deadlines and they like to set specific goals, and more power to them. Me, I'm so pissed off and I'm so depressed. I don't care what happens. I don't care when it happens. I don't care how it happens. I don't care why it happens. All I know is I'm now going to go all in with this thing once and for all because I've got nothing else to do. And when I say all in, I don't mean like every day, all day, because I understood human nature and knew that I wouldn't be able to keep that up. But I could do every day for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, whether it's a gratitude exercise or visualization or any of the things that I did in the past that started to work before I stopped. And I'll tell you, the results that I got were nothing short of miraculous. Like 2 weeks later, I feel better, which is saying a lot with a broken heart. I think anyone can relate. Like if you feel better after 2 weeks, you know, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
3 months later, I'm in a brand new relationship, a way healthier one, and I'm over my ex. 4 months later, I'm making more money than at any point in my life before that. And 6 months later, like everything in my life is different. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm waking up happy and fulfilled and excited. And like, I realized, oh my God, this stuff works when you actually work it. And it wasn't even like that was back in 2008. And I didn't write this book until 2019. So it was a while before I decided to share what I did and what I used, because even back then, even though I understood it, I couldn't articulate it in a way that, you know, that people, when they read it, they can actually see and learn and utilize it and leverage it. And it wasn't until I made that bold decision to finally take on such a bold topic with a bold title and a bold promise. I'm like, listen, I think I'm finally at the point. I've done a lot of twists and turns, successes and failures. I understand why I fail when I fail, how I succeed, why I understand the mechanics, not just like the law of attraction, but of my own human psyche and my own flaws. And now I know how to get around my own tricks. And that's when I made a decision like, okay, let me write this book and hopefully give people a paradigm shift that I didn't have that I wanted 15 years ago.
Awesome. That's amazing. So tell me, how was that writing process and how you get to internalize and externalize the idea of writing a book and becoming an author? How that happened?
Yeah, well, so for me, I'm a major rule breaker in that regard. I didn't write this the way most people would write a book. In fact, like I've written before, like I've done sales copywriting and I've written other stuff. So it wasn't like the first thing that I ever wrote. But it was a situation where, like, in one sense, you could say it took me 9.5 weeks to write it because it did take me 9.5 weeks to write it. But in another sense, you could say it took 16 years to write it because, again, I spent 16 years learning and experiencing and understanding in new ways. And I spent about a month just putting down like notes on a bunch of Google Docs, like all over the place. And then I didn't even like write the book. I edited the book. Like I spit out a whole like mess that would not be fit to print, but just because it's in sequence right and it's not clear, it's not concise, it's not easy. I just massaged these random thoughts into a cohesive order of things because, you know, no offense to, I think anyone has a right to write a book however they want, why ever they want. Some people want to write a book just so they can look smart, more power to them. Some people want to have be on the New York Times bestseller list. Me, I was viewing the book as an experience for the reader. Like, this isn't something that's going to make me look good. In fact, because an Andrew Kaplan already writes books, I didn't even use Andrew Kaplan. I used Andrew Kapp because I didn't want to cannibalize his sales. But for me, it's like, can I write something that from page one to page 208, there is a sequence and a progression of the ideas so that as it unfolds, things make more sense. People give themselves more permission to try it out. And it literally like is a life experience because the book is meant to not even to teach you, but to nudge you in the direction where the learning will come from your life experience of using the methods and using the techniques. Because that's the only way that we learn, in my opinion. It's from your life experience. Even if you think you're learning from a mentor or a teacher or a book, they are good facilitators. They are good catalysts. But the real learning, in my opinion, comes when you are implementing yourself and seeing the feedback from the universe.
That is so right. And you are so on point because I do believe that the same, like you can guide people and like be a mentor and a coach for them. But at the same time, they're not going to learn through our experience, going to learn through them. And that is so true. I got to read your book and I have to say that I loved it. And you gave us so many techniques on how we can implement this into our lives and work with this daily. My favorite was the scripting, but I think you have your favorite, right?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about the scripting, real quick, for people listening that don't know what that is, that's basically just journaling your life in the present tense as if you're already living your dream life. And scripting is either really works for people if they like to write or like to type, or they can just speak it out loud. for me, while I do love scripting, and I even did an interview on my YouTube channel with someone who did scripting, not even learning from my book. She did it before she met me. She scripted her way to $1 million in like 16 months, which is a whole other cool story. So scripting, super valuable. My favorite technique specifically is the time lapse, just because I like gratitude methods. For me, that resonates the most with me and helps me connect most easily with just a good positive feeling, which is the whole key to everything anyway.
Awesome. So what is time lapse like more in detail? Like, let's say if I want to do a time lapse right now, how would that work?
Yeah. So time lapse is pretty easy. And I invite people listening to this just to try it because, hey, you're hearing it right now. It's for free, right? So time lapse is a gratitude method in the sense that you are going to list 15 things that you're grateful for. 5 of them are from your past. 5 of them are from your present, and 5 of them are things that you want in your future. And the hook to all this is all these are going to be worded in the present tense, even the future ones. And you're going to have this list of 15 and you're going to jumble up the list. And this is really important because like maybe the first thing is a present and then a past and then a future, another present, another future. It's all jumbled up. And what you're going to do is you're basically going to go down this list, this jumbled list, reading each one and just giving yourself 20 to 60 seconds to feel gratitude for whatever that item is. And the power behind this is that 2/3 of that list is real. It already exists, whether it happened already or it's happening right now. 2/3 of that list is in your three-dimensional reality, so that, you know, the enthusiasm and gratitude that you have, it can't be manipulated or replicated. Like, it's legitimate. And because we as humans don't downshift very easily, when you're reading the future items on that list, the same gratitude and enthusiasm carries over into those as well. So if you're a believer in the law of attraction and you believe in the universe and energy and things like that, it's basically another way of saying that you're taking your vibration for all these current things and using that same amplified vibration to invite the future things in as well. But if you don't believe in the law of attraction, this is still a win because, you know, this is programming your subconscious mind. Just the way your subconscious mind is really resonating with those past and present things that you know are real, you're now putting that fuel into the future ones also, which is going to affect your subconscious mind, which is going to govern a lot of thoughts, actions, behaviors, and events in your life where you're going to get what you want.
That's amazing. I love it. And I also love the way that you explain it. So easy, so simple. I love that.
Thank you.
So, Andrew, let me ask you a question. Why, I know I should have asked this at the beginning, but why law of attraction?
Mm-hmm. You know what? For me, it because it resonates. And I'm the first one, by the way, to say that even though I believe it's real and I've had plenty of evidence in my life, you don't need to believe in it in order to benefit from it. Again, going back to my explanation just now, the subconscious mind, I kind of view this as, like, for me, my reason is just because it worked. But I like to give people, like, the example of lifting weights to get muscles. So really quick, I'll give you a scenario here. There's two reasons why, I'll give you two possible explanations why when you lift weights, you get muscles, even though it's oversimplified. Mm-hmm. Explanation number one is you lift weights and you go to sleep at night, and the muscle fairy comes and gives you muscles, poof, like magic. Explanation number two is that when you're lifting weights, you're putting so much stress on your body that your muscles are literally tearing in minor parts. And what your body does is responds in healing by filling in those gaps with more muscle fiber. It's just a healing process. Now, most people, even though that's a butchered explanation, most people will probably say, well, that's the reason, Andrew. That's why you lift weights and you get muscles. But my answer is, it actually doesn't matter. What matters is you lift weights and you get muscles. You put an X, you get Y. And by that same token, whether or not you believe in the law of attraction or not, if you engage in easy gratitude or visualization or scripting exercises for just 5 minutes a day, for even just 30 days, by hook or by crook, even if you don't want to credit the universe, even if it's not really the universe, some result will happen. Just like it doesn't matter whether it's the muscle fairy or your body's healing, you lift weights, you get muscles. That's why for me, the law of attraction really resonates, is because it works whether you believe in it or not.
That's awesome. Thank you. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you foresee, like, keep writing books about law of attraction, or do you have anything else in mind?
Well, it's so funny. I mean, I kind of painted myself into a corner by saying it's the last one you'll ever need to read, right? So if I were ever to write a book themed around this, it would have to be something, it would only be for, at least from where I stand right now, I mean, who knows if my mind will change, but it could only be for variety, because really, I do believe this is the last book you'll ever need, whether or not you choose to read more or not. What I do to supplement this is, like, I have like a 90-day program. I kind of view this as like the ultimate law of attraction workout. And you can do it on your own, by the way, but I do have a 90-day program if you want videos of a personal trainer walking you through the workouts. And of course, I've got my YouTube content where, like, if I come up with methods or I learn new methods, rather than try to stuff it into new versions of the book, I just give it for free on my YouTube channel. So the new stuff coming down the pike for me is really just more content that doesn't have to do with the book specifically. But you never know if I'll be inspired to write something else that, if anything, would complement the book and not replace it in any way, shape, or form.
Have you considered just, like, writing maybe about something that is not law of attraction related, or
would you versify? I have, like, so to be honest, for me, because for me, book writing, believe it or not, is it's a stressful process, because I have the moment of inspiration where it's just a download and I spit it out, and that's the easy part. But then, because I really care about the experience of the reader so much, I end up driving myself crazy going through it like 10 times over and over and over, refining and tweaking and things like that. So for me, if I write something new, whether it's law of attraction or something else, I have to be really inspired to do it, because I know that I'm not just, like, committing to a 1-week process. I'm like committing to a 1-year process where I'll drive myself crazy for like 9 to 12 weeks writing it, and then I'll be refining it, then I'll find typos, then I'll have to like re-upload to Amazon. So it's a real, not to sound negative, it's a process because I care so much about it. So The only way a new book would come for me is if I'm super inspired and there's something that I think really needs to be said in some way, shape, or form.
I'm sure that you will be. I don't know.
I say like I'm like,
to see more under
I'll get the edge.
I want to read more. I really love your book.
Thank you.
Yes. Now that you mentioned that writing process, what was the most? I know you said that you find yourself. I think that you're a perfectionist because you say you find yourself like going back and forth and tweaking and editing and reading again and again, which is awesome. But what was the best part of writing and the worst part of writing?
Right. Well, you nailed the worst part. And by the way, I don't say perfectionist as a badge of honor. I think it's something that we could all learn to do a little bit less. So that was definitely like the worst part because I did intensely go over every minute detail. Like I cared about the way the paperback, like I designed the whole layout myself. I didn't hire out to do it. I did the cover myself. So I obsessed over every little detail in that regard. The best part of the process, well, there's two parts, and one of them's cheating because one of them is the feedback that I'm getting afterwards to know that it was worth it. Even though that's not part of the writing process, to me, that's certainly part of the creative process to get feedback from people and know that impacts are being made. But In the moment, the most rewarding part of it was to go through a chapter and after doing the obsession, read through it and feel like it really landed. To be like, wow, like those 5 to 10 pages of this chapter, that's what I wanted to say. And I think whether you're an artist who like, you know, you become a photographer because you can't draw, like we all have these creative frustrations. I think when we hit that sweet spot, like you feel like you wrote the song that said that you wanted what you want to say, you wrote the guitar progression, you painted the photo, or you wrote the book, when you feel like you actually, what was in your head made it onto the page, that for me was very fulfilling in those moments that it was happening. And for me, pretty much every chapter except one or two, I really walked away feeling like I accomplished that for myself.
Okay. That's awesome. So let me ask you a question. What would you say to the people that is watching this live right now and they're, you know, going through difficult situations and they're looking for some way to succeed? What would you tell them?
Right. So I think sometimes when we are going through something, someone tries to be helpful. And they'll say things like, you know, just believe in yourself or just look on the bright side of things or something like positive encouragement. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that advice, but I do think that there are times when people are in the moment, they're in pain, they're in frustration, they're in impatience. It's tough for them to hear that. So even though that's very valid advice, what I would say to somebody is this isn't about, this isn't about forcing the universe to bend to your will, but it is about strategy. I'm a huge strategy guy. For me, what this book about is how can you strategically find something that you can enjoy for just 5 minutes a day so that it's a choice rather than a chore. So it's something that you get to do rather than something you have to do. In other words, for someone out there who's in some kind of pain or frustration or bad situation, I don't want to say just look on the bright side of things. I would say find a way to strategically look on the bright side of things, knowing that that will hopefully alter your mindset, it'll alter your energy, it'll alter all the things seen and unseen that will invite more good things for you. For me, it's a game of chess with the energy seen and unseen that some you can control, some you can't. So why not just put yourself out there in a way that's most strategically going to invite more good things for yourself, which could be any gratitude method or anything else.
Yeah, I love that you said strategy because that's something that I have learned through my life. I retired this past year from the military. So with that said, you know, I learned a lot about being strategic, but a lot of people don't apply that into their life. And it's so important for everything that we do, either it is on our personal level or business level, even if we want to just, you know, lose that 5 pounds a week that we want, we have to be strategic about it and make a plan. And a lot of people just fail on that. And that's basically the cornerstone, right?
Yes.
For our success. Anything else that you want to tell the audience?
First of all, just because it came up, respect to you for your service. So congratulations on your retirement. And I would just say, following that thread of what you were talking about, Evan Pagan, brilliant mind and a brilliant marketer, he would call it inevitability thinking. How do you set up the conditions so that your success or the result is inevitable? Which, again, for people listening out there, whether you buy my book or not, or you can go on YouTube and get things for free, try to find a method that you can enjoy every single day for just 5 minutes, because from an inevitability thinking point of view, it's just 5 minutes a day. Because even if I'm wrong, or I'm deluded, or I'm lying, or whatever, you don't lose by doing those 5 minutes of gratitude, because at least you're departing from whatever stress you have for those 5 minutes. You're feeling good. You're releasing endorphins. You're doing something healthy physically, to say nothing for the fact that I believe you're also energetically inviting a lot better of a result. So really my advice to people is to find something that's fun and easy to do for 5 minutes, because then you've got a very simple daily habit with no pain, no frustration, no concern that you're doing it wrong, no possibility of messing up, and only an invitation and a guarantee of some kind of win, whether you notice it right away or it comes down later on.
Yes, I agree. Thank you for those words. Now that you mention, oh my God, I'm sorry, I got interrupted by my little fluff bug right here.
No worries. By the way, since you got interrupted, another thing is, remember I was talking about strategy? Like, joy can be your strategy that leads to more joy. Having, like me, I was telling you before we hit the live button, like, I can't wait to have a dog of my own. Because an animal brings joy into your life. So whether it's a dog, whether it's a loved one, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, even just your own solitude, whatever it takes to bring joy into your own life, invite that and bring that in, because that's where the real value is. Joy doesn't have to be a result. It can be your strategy that invites the result.
Yeah, that's right. So what I was trying to ask you or say, it was that, sometimes we start working with the law of attraction and, like you said, using joy. I love to, feel myself happy and foresee myself happy all the time. But sometimes we also make excuses to ourselves and kind of block that energy and block that real happiness for coming into our lives and manifesting. So what will be a good thing to do to avoid those blockages?
Well, I think the key thing to do is to understand where the blocks are coming from, because then you diffuse them, then you deprive them of their power. And to borrow something from the book, what I like to teach people is, like, we have three minds. We've got the conscious and we've got the subconscious, and right in the middle, we've got the ego, or what I define as the ego. A clinical psychologist probably won't share the definition. And the ego is stronger than the conscious mind, which is where all these problems are coming from, but the subconscious is stronger than everything. And the thing about that ego is, your ego's job, it only has one thing, that it's one purpose, and that's to keep you alive. So anyone listening out there, whatever's going on right now, whatever money problems you're having, whatever relationship problems, whatever frustrations, career problems, even health problems, all your ego knows right now is that in this moment, you are alive. And the last thing that it wants to do is risk a change in the status quo, because that's not a guarantee of your survival anymore. So even if you want to be, like, rich and famous right now, how does the ego know that when you become famous, you won't get stalkers, which is a threat to your survival? How does the ego know that when you get a lot of money, you won't have family coming out of the woodwork to try to take that money from you? Again, a threat to your survival. So when we talk ourselves out of doing something for 5 minutes a day, or we tell ourselves, oh, I'm not doing this right, or we suffer from perfectionism or something else, that's really our ego in its own fun way. And by the way, the ego doesn't hate you. Your ego loves you. It thinks it's looking out for you. But this is your ego's way of keeping you stuck in place, because it does not want to risk what might happen when you make that next quantum leap. And again, the ego only cares about your survival, which means it doesn't care about your comfort. It doesn't care about your happiness. It doesn't care about your fulfillment. It doesn't care about your satisfaction. So the key to all this, I think, is the understanding that it's coming from a loving place, recognizing that, and then again, strategically, doing things consciously that are easy, that your ego can't talk you out of, which will bypass the ego to the subconscious mind. Again, gratitude, scripting, visualization. These are things that are, you try which one you like, you enjoy doing them, you have fun with them, and that sends the message to the subconscious and the universe, bypassing the ego. And here's the really cool part. when you become a number one best-selling author in multiple categories on Amazon, or you hit 1,000 five-star reviews, and thank you, by the way, for your five-star review. Now your ego has that new identity. Your ego looks around like, oh, Andrew's still alive. Now I have to protect Andrew, the number one best-selling author. Now I have to protect Andrew, the huge Amazon five-star review getter. So now it's going to fight to protect your new level of height and not let you go back down. So there's advantages to this also. But the key is just understanding that your ego is really powerful. Do things that will bypass it to invite a better future.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for those words. I really enjoy having you today here. Do you have any upcoming projects? You said that you have a course that you give out.
Well, the course, it's called Gravity of the Cosmos. And it's because the understanding that cosmos is another word for universe, but it implies a more orderly universe. So it's almost like the goal of Gravity of the Cosmos is to do this for 90 straight days in a way that you're just inviting through gravity of the universe, all these good things through a simple repetition day after day after day after day of all these different methods. So, you know, when people buy my book, one of the links I give them for free bonuses, I give them free days to Gravity of the Cosmos, because I don't want anyone to buy it without actually trying it. That way they know exactly what they're getting into. But other than that, I mean, I just launched a 30-day gratitude thing at the beginning of the year, but I won't offer that again until next year. It's going to be my new annual thing. It's called Escape Velocity. So for me right now, what I've got going on is interacting with awesome people like you and growing the YouTube channel and putting more content there to serve more people.
Awesome. Let me see. This is your YouTube channel, right?
Yes.
Awesome. So if anybody that wants to follow Andrew, this is his YouTube channel, Andrew Kapp. Go subscribe there now. And you also have a website, right?
Yeah, well, the website's lastlawofattractionbook.com. And what that does is just auto forward to the Amazon listing. So people, whether they want Kindle or paperback or even audiobook, for some reason, people like really, when I put out the audiobook, I never realized how many people would be receptive to an audiobook, which shows my lack of awareness of the market. It plays thing on audio. Awesome. So, any kind of format, you go there, that'll auto forward you to the Amazon listing.
I'm sorry. I think you got frozen for a quick second there, and you were saying that you were not aware of.
Yeah, no, I was not aware of that the market would respond so well to audiobooks, which just shows my lack of awareness of the marketplace. But I'm not going to complain one bit. And yeah, that link will just take you to the Amazon listing if people want to check out any of the formats. So they've got that if they want to pull out their wallets, or if they want free content, they've got the YouTube link, so they could win either way.
Awesome. Well, Matt, I keep calling you Matthew for something.
I've got a similar face to a Matthew that you know, right?
Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe you can call your dog Matthew. Maybe, you know, that's going to be his name, Matthew.
I'm going to remember that when I get my dog. I'll be the first pet.
Awesome. So I want to thank you so much for being with us today. I loved your book. I cannot stop telling you and telling everybody about this book. It's really good. A lot of techniques to practice and law of attraction. And even, like you said, even if you don't believe on it, you can also, you know, train your subconscious, right? So I found it very educational and helpful to, just achieve whatever we want to achieve into our life, especially, you know, bringing that joy and happiness that we all looking for. I thank you and I wish you the best. You are super amazing. I loved having you here today. And for everybody watching, don't forget next week we have Sara Solecki here with us at the Be Fearless Hour. So until then, stay safe and have an amazing day.